This Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater of the Epic Center, the Rising Stars Recital Series, presented by the Gilmore, will continue with a piano duo of twin sisters, Christina and Michelle Naughton. Both attended the Juilliard School in New York, where they currently live. I recently spoke to them by phone. I'm really glad to be able to talk to both of you, Christina and Michelle. I guess we're all on speakerphone.
Yes, exactly.
Right now. Okay, very good. This Sunday, you're coming to Kalamazoo to perform on the Rising Stars series we have here, presented by the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. I understand you always studied, you grew up always studying with the same teacher, and that may have had something to do with your ability to play as a duo, perhaps.
I hope so. Yes, I think it was a nice thing also for the two of us to get to work together, because even when we played only as soloists, and we were trained at both at Curtis and Juilliard entirely as soloists, we would attend each other's lessons.
You had the advantage of both watching each other's progress, but also getting that individual attention that you needed.
Yes, exactly.
Who were some of your primary teachers?
Oh, we've been lucky to have so many wonderful teachers, starting off actually with our mom, who was our first teacher when we were four. Yeah, so she's the one we can thank probably for the reason why we're musicians now.
Well done, Mom.
Very much a family thing for us.
Where was this?
Wisconsin. We were born in Princeton, New Jersey, but then we grew up in the Midwest. So we're Midwesterners.
Nice, just across the lake.
Yeah.
And where am I reaching you all today?
We're in New York City, where we live.
How long have you been based there?
For a while, many years now. It's just starting to feel like home.
Any stories about coming from the Midwest and turning into city dwellers?
Well, I mean, some of it I'm not exactly sure if it has to do with maybe when rather than where and all this stuff. But I mean, I do notice even in a huge city like New York, you think that it's so big that everyone's anonymous. But even when I walk around the streets here, I get people saying, "Hi, twin," or "Where's your twin?" And I'm just like completely in shock that people actually like, I guess the thing is being adult twins is it's very obvious. And I don't always, you know, recognize that. And it seems so normal for us. You know, we don't even think we look, when we look at each other, we don't see, oh my gosh, that person looks like me or anything like that. So
you've had a chance to, you know, explore the differences in your lifetimes, I guess.
Exactly.
But you do perform as a duo. And here's something I would love to get out of the way as a piece of business that even as myself being a classical announcer, I screw it up all the time. And that is the difference between piano four hands and duo piano or two piano music.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, just make it as clear as possible what's going on when people talk about one and the other.
Well, four-hand piano is it's probably the only form of chamber music in which the players share the instrument. It's when we play on one piano, we have two benches, and we sit at the same piano. One of us plays the bass, and one of us plays the treble, and that's four hands, one piano. And two pianos is when we're actually on two separate pianos playing together. And this concert will have both.
So you'll share the same piano for one piece or another piece, and then you'll switch to two pianos.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, speaking of the program, you have Ravel's Mother Goose Suite, you have Chopin and Mendelssohn, and a really cool John Adams, and the Nutcracker. I mean, is it possible this is too much of a good thing?
Well, we'll see.
You really have crammed this program with just such attractive and lively music. I mean, you're going to use a lot of energy in the hour and a half program you have here. Have you performed this a lot of different places?
Yes, though not all of these pieces together in one program. So we're happy to try this kind of pairing. You know, it's like as a cook, you like, I've made these dishes before, but we've never served them all together. So that's the fun part.
That's a nice analogy. Well, why don't we delve in a little bit? Talk about the Ravel for me.
Well, the Ravel is actually one of the pieces were, actually this happens a lot in either forehand or two piano playing, is that there are sometimes orchestral pieces, but we can play them either, you know, as pianists on one piano or on two pianos. And it's a nice thing. It's like having an orchestra at your fingertips. But I think you can actually bring out some different qualities that the orchestra maybe can't. There's certain timings, there's certain things that you can maybe highlight in the music that you can't in the orchestral rendition, which is why those are nice pieces.
Would you agree that in a two piano or piano four hands version, just the simple clarity of the composition comes out, whereas otherwise you can sort of be seduced by this instrument and that instrument and not necessarily hearing the bones of the piece?
Oh, bare bones. That's an interesting way to think of it. Yeah, I mean, like, at the same time, I would say that I hear the instrumentation in my mind as I'm playing. So that's actually kind of a creative process, just to, you know, you have a keyboard, but you can create different instruments, I think, with your different touches and all kinds of things.
So you're also playing the flute in your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Mother Goose a two piano or four hands piece?
Four hands.
So that's how you'll start off on the program on Sunday. Again, that begins at 4:00, and full details are at the website, thegilmore.org. And speaking of the Gilmore, were you aware of this festival and the award and things like that?
The festival is something really neat, I think, because it's really geared towards piano, and I don't know too many places that are like that. I mean, it's got to be a huge group of just huge piano fans and probably people who played themselves and things like that. So it'll be a wonderful occasion kind of to celebrate being a pianist, I think.
Moving on, let me hear about the Chopin Rondo. Chopin is famous for writing solo piano music. How did this one come about?
Well, there's actually a solo version of this piece as well, but he did do this arrangement as well, which is nice because a lot of arrangements that are done are not necessarily done by the composer, but this one is, and it's a joy to play. It kind of highlights some of the, I think, the most, you know, unique parts of Chopin's music, and almost exponentially highlights that by the intertwining of, you know, the two parts and how they go together and speak to one another.
Do you trade off on who plays what you might call first and second?
Not so much. I mean, we do in various pieces. Like, there are pieces where I play first piano, she plays second piano, and sometimes we switch. But we don't switch once we've learned an individual piece. We feel like we know each other's parts, though, because we listen to each other separately, and you just feel like you know it, but no, we don't ever physically switch.
If I keep going down the program, we hit on a really, really interesting piece that you've kind of made a calling card of, I think. Talk about Hallelujah Junction by John Adams.
Well, this is obviously a piece where the composer, by a living composer, which is really cool because we've had chances to play for him, and it's interesting because we've loved the piece for many years, and, you know, John Adams has worked for many years. We actually decided to play the piece for the first time. It was a bold move, but in Central Park in New York, a few years ago. And the weird thing about that performance is somebody took a bootleg, and usually I don't like that when that happens, you know, because you're not aware of it and all these other things. But this bootleg was a lucky bootleg, because whoever posted it ended up, you know, posting it, and who ended up falling on it was John Adams himself. So he found that recording, and that's how he got in touch with us. And, you know, we started, you know, working with him and getting to know him since then.
Okay. Well, I want to know what John Adams is like now.
you know, well, listen to his music. There's a lot of great musician. Yeah, his music makes a lot of sense when you know him too.
Well, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip to the big ballet you've programmed for end of the concert.
It's the season, right?
Yeah. It's, of course, Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. What are some of the dances included in the suite you'll be playing?
Well, mostly the ones that I think people will recognize. March of the Soldiers, The Waltz of the Flowers, the Arabian Chinese dances. We kind of put it there for like an uplifting thing something everyone will recognize and brings back hopefully happy memories. It definitely does for us. The Nutcracker was something we, you know, went to every year, watched friends dance in every single year. We did a little ballet ourselves. So.
Finally, tell me about an exciting recent performance. Have you been on tour or had any special dates that you can tell us about?
Well, actually, it sounds so cliche, but every concert can be special in its own way. Like, it's not your nerves and also your everything is, it's not really related to how big the hall is or anything like that. But I mean, our most recent performance, we just performed here in our home city like a week ago, so yeah, that was a fun. And I mean, we were also a little sad because at the beginning of this month we were supposed to play with the Puerto Rico Symphony, which couldn't happen, and you know, we're sad for what happened there, but we have a lot of places that we're looking forward to playing, and we do a lot of actually like Latin American traveling, so we'll be going to like a tour of Spain and Chile, Brazil, and we're really looking forward to going to New Zealand to actually next season, first time tour New Zealand. So it's a lot of, you know, traveling and spending time on a plane, but well worth it.
Do you offer multiple programs? That is, prepare specific concerts with themes that presenters can choose from and keep them all prepared as you go through your season?
Well, it's kind of something that there are pieces that we perform a lot in a certain year, but we do generally have different programs, and it feels different every time, though, whether or not you're playing the same pieces, because the audience actually can change the feel of the whole thing, and that's what makes live performing so fun and spontaneous.
I would like to thank you for your time, and all the best of luck in your travels to Kalamazoo for your concert on Sunday. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.